The truth is, we all go through trials. We all go through tests. But there's something good in it that God wants to do in you so that he can do even greater things through you. So, our scripture this morning, James chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to these words. This is the Bible. This is the truth. This is God's word. Consider it pure joy. I got to stop right there. Consider it pure joy. You got to get that right now. We love to talk about joy. We don't like to talk about tests and trials. But there's a connection. And you're going to see it today more clearly. Consider it pure joy, my brothers or sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now that word, many kinds, in the Greek, if you look it up, if you study it, it means many colors, many facets, many variations. Trials can be lots of different ways, lots of different kinds of trials. Big ones, little ones, short ones, long ones, deep ones, shallow ones. I mean, we all face trials. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So I'm so glad of that promise. We're going to have to. I love the fact that the Bible is a real book. The Bible is honest. The Bible doesn't just gloss over the challenges that this life holds. No, it says you're going to have challenges. You're going to go through trials. But there's a purpose behind them. And that's what makes them bearable. When trials come, we have to be prepared by accepting the fact that they're a part of life, but God has a purpose in us going through trials. So this morning, I want to look at five things that I think God wants to speak to us, minister to us, help us to understand and see as we walk through this trial called the quarantine of 2020, the COVID-19 quarantine. Five things. The first thing is simply this: trials come to test our hearts. Trials come to test our hearts. And you see this in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you've read the Bible at all, you know that men and women of God have been tested throughout time so that God could reveal what was in their hearts. Not that God didn't know, he already knew. But sometimes, quite honestly, the test or the trial comes so that we will be more familiar with. We will see more clearly what's in our heart. Hezekiah, a king in the Old Testament, he went through some major trials, went through a major battle where he was outnumbered greatly, went through a life-threatening sickness where he would have died, but then God healed him and extended his life. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, God's healed Hezekiah, and people from a foreign nation have come to hear his story. But when the envoys were sent, here's the scripture, but when the envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land, God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. Again, let me say it, it's not that God didn't already know. God knew. But God used this test to bring out what was in Hezekiah's heart. I really believe God's using this test that we're all walking in right now, this trial, this challenge, to expose our hearts, to open them up, to lay them bare, to show us what's in them truly. I don't know about you, but I've felt a lot of things, dealt with a lot of things over these past few weeks. It's good at times, folks, for God to bring those things out so we can really see and we can really deal with them. Sometimes, quite honestly, we're not really honest. We're not really real or authentic. And God has to use a trial, has to use a test to get what's deep within out and exposed so we'll deal with it. Let me just tell you, I've been around the church a long time now. And the church in America has a tendency to pretend, to be dishonest, to put on a good face, to put on a covering, if you will. We know how to put on a show. We know the right answers. We've even developed, if you will, a language around it called Christianese. In other words, we know the right words to speak. We can throw out the theological terms, the churchy terms, and you know, it's really to impress other people. It's to make other people believe we're in a better place than we truly are. But let me tell you, our God is interested in getting deep down within and dealing with the issues of our heart. And he will do and he will use whatever he needs to lay open our hearts so that we start to be honest with him. One of the worst things that's happened in this world is inauthentic Christians causing lost people who are seeking for truth to turn away from the church because of their hypocrisy, because of their dishonesty, because they're not being real, they're not being honest. Man, God wants us to get back to a place of honesty, church, before him. God wants to get to the real us, not the pretend us. And sometimes he'll use a trial or a test to strip away the false, the pretend, to get to the real. There's a song out there right now that's kind of a youthy song, and I really like it. And if you haven't heard it, you should check it out. It's called Best Friends by Hillsong Young and Free. It's one I've been listening to and really struck me. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of it. And it's a youthy song, right? It's produced out of the children's ministry at Hillsong in Australia. But here's a little bit of the song. It says, "Tell me why society's plan should define who I am. Surely there's a higher way. All of my friends are sick of pretending. We want the truth. We want it. We want it. So much is missing. So give us the real thing. I know it's you." And then goes into na 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 na. I love na 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 na's in songs. Anyway, sick of pretending. I want the real. God is sick of his church pretending. His church being so busy. His church not being honest. His church not being authentic. His church not being real. Let God search your heart. Let God look into your heart. Let God expose the stuff within. Trials are sent our way so that we can take a spiritual inventory and make sure that we're where we really need to be. How you doing in these days? What grade would you give yourself? If you were to grade yourself spiritually right now, are you walking in faith? Are you trusting God? Are you clinging to him? Is he your rock? Is he your fortress? Is he your protection? Or are you worried and fearful, afraid, fretting, speaking negative words, not trusting God, not worshiping, but worrying instead? Would you just take some time this week to evaluate your heart before God? In Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms, King David praise these words, and they're so powerful. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What's your attitude? How about your perspective? What's your words? All those things are reflections of where your heart is, and God wants to get to your heart so he can do a deep and significant, meaningful, and lasting work in your heart to make your heart reflect his heart. Church, let me just say this to you this morning. Let's make sure we're growing in God in this season. Let's make sure we're growing in God in this season. This is a unique opportunity we have. Let's make sure we're growing in God in this season. Number two, trials come to help us stay humble. God opposes proud people. I've been there. I've struggled with pride many times in my own life. The Apostle Paul experienced this. And he experienced it from an interesting perspective. He was a very spiritual person. He'd had a glorious vision from God and experience of being caught up into God's presence. And he was given incredible revelations from God. And in 2 Corinthians 12:7, it says, "To keep me from becoming conceited or proud because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." Here's a guy who'd raised the dead, healed the sick, had encounters with the resurrected Christ, had received incredible revelation from God. And God was interested in making sure he walked in a spirit of humility. He's interested in making sure I walk in a spirit of humility, you walk in a spirit of humility. Because let me remind you again, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Number three, trials make us yearn for heaven. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 4, is probably facing one of the greatest trials of his whole life. In fact, he says of the experience that they had in Ephesus, he says, "We despaired of life itself. We had more than we could handle on our own. We literally thought we were going to die." And then he says these words, and maybe they're familiar to you. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." God's working in us to bring something greater out of us. We're being refined by God. In Scripture, many times, it gives that analogy of the gold in the being refined by the fire so that the impurities can be wiped away. God wants the impurities out of us so that the purity can come forth through us. Could it be that in this day and time, God's purifying his bride for his certain return? Could it be that you and I are living in the last days? Could it be that Jesus is coming back sooner than we think? Could it be that he's using this as a time and an opportunity for you and I to do some soul searching and seeking and to walk in humility before him and to get our priorities right and to get our eyes focused on him, our hearts set on heaven? Could it be that he's preparing us for a great harvest ahead? I believe yes, yes, and yes. So let's let God do his good work in us and let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's fix our eyes on what is unseen. Let's fix our eyes on eternity. Number four, trials give us compassion for other people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. One of the things that going through a trial will do is it'll produce in you more sympathy. Really, compassion. The word compassion means to suffer alongside or to suffer with. It's sharing with another person's suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Let me remind you of something. God is the God of compassion, the Father of compassion. It's right there in that scripture. It's so powerful. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. God's not mean to you. God's not holding back from you. God is not that angry person up in the sky with a baseball bat waiting for you to step out of line and conk you on the head. No. He is a loving, compassionate, and gracious Father who wants to show you compassion and mercy and comfort you in the midst of your needs. He's the God of all comfort. He's there with you, walking with you in this season. He wants you to experience his comfort so you can pay it forward to others. I'm going to tell you about an experience I had this week, first time this has ever happened to me. My youngest daughter works at Starbucks, and boy, am I glad for that. excited about that. It means lots of good coffee for me. So this week we were going through the drive-thru line at Starbucks. One time this week we waited 22 cars in the line. Can you believe that? Took a while to get through that drive-thru line. Anyway, we're going through the line. We get up to pay for our drinks, and we'd ordered four drinks, right? One for me, one for Tracy, one for Isaiah, one for Eliza. And we got up there, and the barista at the window says, "The person in front of you paid for your order." Well, my mouth kind of fell open. I'm like, "What? Really?" I said, "The guy behind me, I'm going to pay for his then." Because you know what? There's something that happens when you share a blessing, when you are generous, when you are kind, when you go out of your way to meet somebody else's needs, to be compassionate like God calls us to be. I don't know. There's a contagious element to that. It just blessed me. I was like, okay, I want to pay that blessing forward. I want to bless somebody else. And you know what? When you go through a hard time, there's something in that hard time that God wants to use for you to make a difference in somebody else. I gotta tell you, a few years ago, Tracy and I walked through one of the most difficult things we'd ever gone through. We had a miscarriage. We ended up having two miscarriages, actually. Both of them incredibly difficult. And we were just weeping before the Lord, heartbroken. Really, really difficult, challenging season for us. And you know what? God comforted us. God walked with us. God healed our hearts in the midst of that. And I remember standing here at New Song and announcing to the congregation the loss we'd experienced. And something happened that really opened my eyes. I didn't realize how many other couples had gone through miscarriages. I was totally oblivious, but my eyes were suddenly open to how many others had gone through the very suffering we were going through. And let me just say, our ministry deepened that day, deepened in that season. We had new compassion toward those who'd lost a child like we had. We had just new awareness. We saw people that we didn't see before. We knew of a hurt that we didn't understand before. And let me just say this, who better to minister comfort to someone else who's going through a difficult time than someone who's gone through it already themselves? God wants us to be able to pay that comfort forward. Number five, trials mature our faith. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Maturity comes through trials. So why can you consider trials pure joy? Because they produce something in us that nothing else will. There's a maturity and a completing of God's work and a sense of not lacking anything because you've experienced God in His fullness and in His goodness, even in the midst of difficult days. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. We're going through trials, but we will be on the other side of this crisis. And here's my hope and my prayer for you, New Song, for all you wonderful folks out there that we love so dearly. We're praying for you daily. Here's my prayer for you, that you'll come out of this season mature and complete, not lacking anything, growing and maturing in God. But here, this is key. It starts with a choice. Consider it pure joy. Ha, what's that mean? I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to enjoy the trial. It doesn't mean that you have to have joyful emotions during the severe trial. It doesn't mean that you go, "Hooray, I just got fired." No, but that you understand and you enter in and you allow God to do the good work he wants to do in you. That you have a joy-filled attitude because you know it's not just about the difficulty. It's about what's going to be produced through it. God's going to do something good in and through you. Some of you are saying, but oh, I'm so tired of not being able to go to church, not being able to go to work. Listen. Today, make the choice and let God do his good work in you. Consider it pure joy. Wouldn't it be tragic? Wouldn't it be tragic if we came out of this pandemic no different than when we came in? Don't miss what God wants to do in you in this season. He wants to bring you through this. He wants to mature you. He wants to bring a completion. He wants to continue that good work in you. He wants to make sure you're not lacking any good thing. Will you let him do that? Would you pray with me today? Father, thank you for this time and opportunity. Thank you for this ministry moment right now. Lord, every person watching, every person that's apart right now, Lord, I pray you'd speak to them. I pray they would feel and sense your presence. I pray you'd show them how you want to do good things in their hearts and lives through this season. I pray they would consider it pure joy to allow the God of this universe to work in them in such a way to bring about his good purposes through this trial. Make us, Lord, mature, complete, not lacking anything. And we just rejoice in you. Even in these difficult days, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to have my wife come, and we're going to end, as we have over the last several weeks, by praying a scriptural prayer of protection over you today. We are believing that God is going to protect every single person at New Song Louisville from this virus and from any sickness, and we're praying God's word together over you. So we want to end like that today.
So, Father, your word says in 1 John 5:14-15, we have courage in God's presence because we are sure that he hears us if we ask him for anything that is according to his will. He hears us whenever we ask him. And since we know this is true, we know also that he gives us what we ask from him. So I'm going to pray directly from your word, the Bible, so that I know I am praying according to your will, and therefore you will hear me and answer my prayers.
And your word says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I refuse to be anxious or worried about anything, and I choose rather to pray about everything and to make all of my requests to you with thanksgiving. I'm thanking you in faith that you will keep these promises to me.
And your word says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So I thank you, Lord, that I do not and will not have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind.
Your word also says in Isaiah 41:10, do not be afraid. Yes. I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong, and I will help you. I will protect you and save you. So in the name of Jesus, I will not be afraid because you're with me. You are my God, so nothing will terrify me. You will make me strong and you will help me. And regardless of what happens, you'll protect me and save me.
And your word says in Psalm 46:1-2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, therefore, I thank you that you are my refuge and my strength. You are a very present help in trouble. Even if the whole world, the earth, is removed, and even if every mountain is thrown into the ocean, I refuse to fear.
And your word says in Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue which rises against us in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So I declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and that every tongue, every negative word that disagrees with your promises to me, and every word that rises up against me to judge me, I condemn and cast down. Such words will not come to pass. This divine protection is part of my inheritance as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness, my worthiness to have this protection comes from you, the final authority.
And your word also says in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So I thank you, Lord, that you have given me the authority to use the name of Jesus to trample on serpents and scorpions, every kind of evil spirit, and over all the power of the enemy. And because of that, nothing shall by any means hurt me.
And your word says in Isaiah 53:5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." So I thank you, Lord, that Jesus was wounded to pay for my transgressions. He was bruised to pay for my iniquities. He endured severe punishment to pay for my peace. And because he paid for my healing by willingly being scourged, I declare that by his stripes I am healed.
Yes. And in Psalm 103:2-3, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. So I choose to bless you from the depths of my soul, and I will not forget all your benefits. You forgive me of all my iniquities, and you heal all of my diseases."
And Lord, we finish today by praying through Psalm 91. What a precious and powerful psalm. And now, Lord, I pray Psalm 91 because I'm an heir of the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ. And I personalize every promise in this chapter. According to Psalm 91, I declare, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust.
Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence, and shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall take refuge.
His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday.
1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling.
For he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I shall trample underfoot, because I have set my love upon the Lord. Therefore he will deliver me.
Thank you, Lord.
He will set me on high, because I have known his name. I shall call upon him. He will answer me. He will be with me in trouble.
He will deliver me and honor me. And with long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks for tuning in
we
today.
Love you all.